Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
.108, happy Tuesday, everybody. Pete McMurray in for John Williams. I purposely did not wear a coat today, thinking that if I don't wear a coat, we're eventually going to get to the 70s.
I did the same, but I did no socks.
You know what? I was going to go no socks, but I thought I'd be too cold. As soon as I got out of my car in the parking lot here, it was a little cold.
Yeah, I went medium weight coat, no socks.
You know, my mom says that the ground still retains that cold air, so you should still wear warm socks.
Yeah, but it's always 140 degrees at this radio station.
Well, that's true.
It's always warm.
You think so.
It is so hot. I walked through the sales department yesterday. It was like walking through a sauna. I don't really understand what goes on with this building. That's one thing I'm not going to miss. Because we're in an old building, Tribune Tower, which is an historic landmark, right? At least the lobby is. Is this building historic?
Right. No.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, there's no thermostats. You have to call.
Well, you have to call the boiler room
downstairs to the bowels of the Tribune Tower to change the temperature.
Don't you picture some little man who's lived down there for years with like coal all over his face, like just down there shoveling or something?
I've been down there.
It's scary.
Because we used to call that guy every night because it was so warm in this studio. I finally went down there one night, and what do you think the visual is? I mean, this is
dark.
This is down. I mean, well,
one light bulb hanging.
You know, you have the lower level, and then you have three levels underneath the lower level. The lower level is the parking lot level. We're on the street level right here, and then there's four levels underneath the lower level. So just think five levels down from the street.
I bet it's cool down there, though.
It's nice and cool.
Yeah.
Low ceilings, all concrete, very
scary.
Any
bats hanging from the ceiling?
It's just very odd down
there. Uncle Fester laying on a bed of nails.
I mean, just think about an old, old house on your street, and you walk in somebody's basement. It's got that smell, you know, like the damp water smell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not pretty. Not good. We're giving away a Weber grill today. It's another thing. It's grilling weather. Finally, we have a Weber grill champion coming in studio. I'm all about grilling. I got to clean my grill. My wife has a list, by the way. I don't know, Kim, if you do this with your husband or, well, Violetta, you don't really care about this. But my wife has a list. This is what we need to tackle in the next month. We got to clean the grill. We got to clean the garage. We got to get rid of the stuff in the basement. Don't really understand that. I understand. Okay. I'll take care of it. But cleaning the grill. Got to get your grill cleaned. We will have the grill master in. Also, listen up for the grill sound effect. We're going to qualify some more people today. Once you hear that grill sound effect, caller number 7, we will qualify you to win that Weber grill plus USDA steaks from International Meat Company. That Weber grill is a Spirit II gas grill. And it's very, very nice. And if you get on the air with the Weber grill champion, after 1:35, if we hear your voice on the radio, you qualify, too, if you have a question. So listen up for that, okay? Let's see. We also have Eddie Johnson coming up at 1:20. Did we find out, is it 10 victims now in Toronto?
That's what I had heard wasn't confirmed yet yesterday.
Another person passed away? Bertrand, can I ask you, is it it's 10 victims in Toronto? Did I hear that correctly
That's
today?
That's the last I saw, Pete. Yeah, I haven't looked in the past couple of hours.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you for your lunch.
That's okay. It's a three-minute lunch.
I like that.
That's good. What are you having? I'm hungry.
Don't we wait until after we get off the air? I guess you're running from place to place, aren't you? That's nice. So the grill champion's coming in at 1:35. Has anybody started grilling yet? 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line if you'd like to get a hold of us. Beautiful day today, but I'm telling you, we got to turn the corner. When do we hit 70 degrees? I can't take it anymore.
I just want to wear some flip-flops.
Oh, gosh. People get angry because it's going to get cold again, then it's going to get warm finally this weekend. Are we going to see 70 this weekend?
Yeah.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
That means I need to start working on the yard. You got to do the fertilizer.
I got to start working out. Oh, my God.
Well, why did you stop working out?
Oh, because I was all covered up for the winter.
I don't understand why people do that. Then you have to, it's like you're cramming for an exam. You got to do it right away. You got to work out so you can get in shape to put on the clothes that are showing your shoulder and your legs.
Right. What you're talking about is great in theory to just keep working out all year. But if you had to slack a little bit.
Wintertime, you get cozy. You don't want to go out in the cold. You mentioned flip-flops, Violetta.
Yeah.
Is it okay for a guy to wear flip?
No.
Thank you. To work.
Just nowhere. I don't like the thong flip-flops like between your finger for a guy ever. Like, you can wear the strap.
No. You look old when you wear the strap. You can't wear the strap.
I'm okay with the strap. Or even a sandal, like the old school. Like, I'm okay with whatever.
You can wear flip-flops to the pool. And then if you work out, you got to wear a pair of flip-flops in the shower. That's it. You have two pairs if you're a guy. If you wear them to work. There's people here that still wear flip-flops to work.
Mm-hmm.
Can we name a few of those?
I'm not going to do it. You can.
I mean, when you see a guy wearing flip-flops to...
Yeah, I just don't want to really ever see a guy's feet.
I understand that it's okay to dress down in radio, but when you're wearing flip-flops, you gave up if you're a dude. You just can't do that. Is that appropriate for a woman to wear flip-flops at work?
No.
Yes. Well, we have nicer flip-flops. We have, like, sandals. So it goes with an outfit. It's not just like a...
But the sandal...
Like a floppy thing.
It hooks behind the heel.
Yeah.
Which seems dressier, which means it's work attire.
Right. Oh, so you're saying sandals appropriate, flip-flops no.
Elle, if you're looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, you're right about what a sandal looks like.
I don't know. I don't know if it's appropriate for a woman, but I don't want to see a guy wearing flip-flops at work, and that's absolutely not appropriate whatsoever. No way. 312-981-7200. Steve, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Go ahead, man. What's up?
Good. Wondering the best way to clean a stainless steel grill in particular.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
I am asking you.
Well, that's a great question because what kind of grill do you have?
Gen Air, it's an old one.
Okay. Well, we have the grill champion coming in at 135. I have no idea. I just take the old shop vac, clean it a little bit, grab some Windex. I have no idea.
Windex cleans everything.
Windex does clean everything. I mean, stainless steel, I don't know. Do you vacuum it out with the shop vac?
Yeah. Yeah, I just want it to look nice on the outside, too. I can clean the inside, no problem.
Oh, okay. Well, stainless steel cleaner. Wouldn't that work?
Yeah. I've had trouble getting it really, really clean, though, because the grease just builds up so thick on it.
Have you thought of what's the easy off to clean the ovens? Why don't you try that on your grill?
Yeah. I'm not sure about the stainless steel side. I'll have to investigate that.
Steve, I'd call back in 20 minutes when we have the Weber Grill champion on
We're
the
not
air.
Really experts, obviously.
Well,
if
I
you
play
want to talk
one,
about flip-flops.
I play one on the radio, yes.
Right. Okay, well, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Have a great day. Good job.
See you, man. And I'm thinking I need to find my shop vac. You know, you got to clean out the grill and all that food that sits there during the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, got to pull out the shop vac.
I love the shop vac. You could vacuum anything. I'd vacuum the street if I could with the shop vac. I love it. It's fantastic. Also coming up today, can I plug our 205? Is that confirmed?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, mystery guest. This is so exciting.
Keep your expectations very low, okay?
Remember, I always do.
Pete McMurray's filling in. Leave the expectations very, very low.
No, that's not what I meant. Just in life in general.
Ah, got it. Okay. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk to Eddie Johnson. Remember, listen up for that Weber Grill sounder. When you hear that, caller number 7 will qualify to win that grill that we are giving away today, the Weber Spirit 2. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for John Williams, giving away a Weber grill today. Congratulations to our winner. We just qualified another person. Remember, listen up for the grill sound effect. You'll hear a guy say, come and get it. Caller number 7 will qualify. We'll give away the Weber Spirit Grill and USDA steaks from International Meat Company before 3 o'clock today. So that entire package goes together, which is very, very nice. Waiting for our superintendent, Eddie Johnson. By the way, if you get on the air during the Weber Grill Master at 1:35, we will also qualify you for that if we hear your voice. Let's welcome in our police superintendent, Eddie Johnson. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
Great to talk to you again. We saw each other at the Commander Bauer luncheon at Chicago Cut a few weeks ago, and I have to say, I've seen you speak on many occasions. You don't have any notes. It's straight from the heart. You're such a good speaker. And that day, it just hit home.
Well, you know what? I appreciate it. But, you know, I just believe in telling the truth and saying how you really feel about things. And I think that that resonates with people.
Your first thoughts yesterday when you heard about the incident in Toronto, a cargo van plowed into pedestrians. They killed 10. That person killed 10 and injured many more yesterday.
Yeah, that's just a horrible, horrible incident. And you know, unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of that. You know, so I reached out to the chief of Toronto because he was here a couple of months ago. He and I did a kidney summit together because, as you know, I had the kidney transplant, and I think he had his about a month after I did. So I feel bad for the people in Toronto, and I just wanted him to know that we stand with him.
Now, when you hear something like that, I'm here in the Allstate Showcase Studios right on Michigan Avenue. Some places have the concrete planters in the front. Does that enter right. your mind? Do you think about safety like that? I'm sure
I do. I do, because, you know, our job is to try to keep the city of Chicago as safe as we can, you know. And some of those safety items that we think about, you know, we realize that it takes resources. But, of course, you know, you can never 100% guarantee safety with these types of things. But you just want to be as prepared as you can be.
Now, I heard on the nightly news last night in New York, the police commissioner has tried to educate these moving companies that rent trucks to be aware of unstable or suspicious people. I wouldn't even know how to do that. Have you had that conversation in Chicago?
Yeah, with some of our companies, because you know, sometimes you can identify problematic behavior. You know, if they're real tense or they seem a little flighty and that they're all over the place when they're trying to rent
right.
Certain equipment, then that's a tip and a clue that you might need to vet them a little bit further.
Well, it just seems like common sense, doesn't it?
It does, but like my grandmother used to tell us, sense is one of those things that is not common. So,
right.
you know, you would think it's common sense, but a lot of people just don't take the time to verify behavior like that.
Well, when we have you on, we always talk about gun violence. Now, you're approaching your 14th consecutive month of gun violence declining in the city. Do I have that right?
You have that spot on. Yes, you do.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. That's a testament of the hard work of these police officers out here. And not only them, but the community residents in these challenged neighborhoods, they have really stepped up to come back to the police department and help us engage in this crime reduction fight.
Eddie, we've talked about sensible gun laws in the state. The governor vetoed the law right before the primary. We all knew he was just playing politics. Any word on overturning the governor's veto?
I hear that there is a big possibility that might happen, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding, so we'll just stand by and wait and see what happens. But we're not going to go away with this because it's just common sense to regulate gun dealers, you know, to educate them and to be able to train their employees up mm-hmm. on identifying straw purchasers, because that's a lot of the problems in Chicago.
We're talking with Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, the Waffle House killer. His guns were taken away twice, most recently in Tazewell County. The guns were given to his father, who in turn gave them back to the killer. Shouldn't these people like Travis's father be accountable too?
Yeah, I absolutely. And that's why I'm such an advocate of being able to track what we do with these weapons. It just makes common sense. If you have to have paperwork and documentation to sell your vehicle to somebody, doesn't it make sense that something that can kill people that easily, you should have to do the same thing? You know, and I think that people that enable others to get weapons of that nature, they should be absolutely held accountable for it.
Now, the gun was an AR-15. Here we are again. Why aren't the AR-15 semi-automatic rifles not against the law?
You know what? Listen, Pete, there's just absolutely no reason you need an AR-15 in the streets of any city
or any
town. You just don't. You know, so the people that say you do, what do you need it for? That's a military grade weapon used to kill people.
Right.
You know, you're not hunting with that thing. So, you know, it's just amazing to me how people want to really advocate for having it. And a lot of times, you know, the honest truth is a lot of people advocate for it not because they so much want to get one, but because they just feel that it's their right to get it if they want it.
Right. Steve, do you have a question?
Superintendent, help me out, because I don't understand how a police agency can confiscate a dangerous person's guns and then give them to a family member. So I'm wondering if that's typical. And what do you guys do in Chicago when you confiscate a gun from someone? You don't give it to someone who the person knows, do you?
No, we don't. So I'm not, you know, I don't know the particular details of what transpired there. But with us, if we confiscate an illegal gun, we don't give it back to them. You know, if we take a weapon, for instance, from a person who is a valid FOID holder, and then it goes through the court system, sometimes the judge will order us to give it back to them if everything pans out. But just on the surface, no, we don't do that.
Right. Carjackings in Chicago have been a big problem. I live in the city. My wife was very worried about this. You formed a carjacking task force. How are we doing with that?
So we're doing great. You know, we had an internal task force from the very beginning, and then, of course, we partnered with our federal and state as well as some local jurisdictions to create another task force. And I'm happy to say we are seeing some progress. So now this year, I think year to date, we're down about 5%. And this month, we're down about 4% in terms of carjackings. But we just have to keep chipping at it. And again, you know, we have to hold these juvenile offenders accountable for what they do.
The warm weather is coming. That means violence is most likely going to go up in the city. How do you prepare for that?
Well, you know what? We're getting ramped up now for the summer months. You know, the chief of patrol and the first deputy have put together a great plan. I don't want to give out the specifics of it, but just know you'll see a more visible presence out there from us as the summer months come upon us.
Eddie, one last question. How is your health doing? How's the new kidney?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. I'm about right back where I was in the gym before I had the surgery. So I'm feeling great. You know, the doctors now only want to see me every couple months. So that's always a positive sign when they kind of give you more free rein. So I'm feeling great, you know, and again, I appreciate all the prayers that I received during that time.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This just happened. You had the transplant in August, right?
Correct. August 30th.
It hasn't even been a year yet.
Nope, and I'm doing great. But, you know, I will say this. You know, I put a lot of effort into getting my body physically ready before I had the transplant. So it has definitely helped with the recovery process because during that time I lost about 50 pounds.
Right. So, don't you feel better?
I do.
Yes.
I feel great, you know. So and now the challenge is to make sure I don't gain that weight back.
Especially during barbecue season.
Yeah.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, always great to chat with you, sir.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Pete McMurray in for John Williams this week in the Allstate Showcase Studios. I get so excited talking about grilling. In studio with us, he is a Weber Grill champion. It is Doug Badger. Thank you for coming in, first of all.
Of course, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Say your real last name, Badger. It sounds like
Yeah, I got lucky.
Yeah, you did. What is a Weber Grill champion?
It's basically you go through a training process where you have to log hours and, you know, practice a lot of meats on the grill and go through some training courses, and it takes some time, but...
Really?
Yeah.
It's rough stuff, man, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's very rigorous, yeah.
Did you grill growing up? Because my family grilled all the time, and my father burned everything on the grill, because all we had was a charcoal grill, and it just, he threw it on when the flames were still going. You had the wheat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up with a Weber gas grill in the backyard.
Okay.
And I kind of got into charcoal on my own, so I do a little bit of both. I tend to prefer charcoal sometimes
because of the flavor, right?
Yeah. But the thing with the Weber Genesis or the Spirit gas grills, we have the flavorizer bars in there, so that really helps get that kind of charcoal flavor when all the grease drips off the meat out of the flavorizer bar. It adds all that flavor.
Where do I put those? I have the Weber Genesis. I want that flavor. Do I just throw it right in the middle? And where does it go?
The grill has the flavorizer bar in there already.
I guess I need, it's what, 4 years old? I need something. I mean, I want the hickory taste. You know what I mean?
Well, you can always add wood chips to the gas grills if you're really looking for that extra wood flavor. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Don't you want that?
Well, a lot of people prefer that, yeah.
Biggest mistake people make is overcooking their food, isn't it?
I'd say overcooking or even undercooking. Weber does make a Bluetooth-enabled thermometer called the iGrill. They have an iGrill Mini, an iGrill 2, and an iGrill 3. It really helps with that. I'd say probably more than 80% of people when they go out to grill are really not sure. They're not really confident about what they're about to do.
That would be me.
Yeah. So
I mean, I love grilling, but if I'm cooking chicken, forget it. If I don't have a thermometer, and it seems like it never works.
Right. You're cutting into it. You're right. Poking it. You're wondering. You're watching people eating it. Like, hey, is it okay?
Why is it not okay to cut into your chicken?
Well, all the juices go flying out of it. So with the iGrill, you have the meat probe in there.
Yeah.
And they have a free app that Weber developed. So all you do is tell the app that you're cooking chicken.
Of course
chicken.
You have an app. So you can just look at your phone and find the temperature of your meat. You don't even have to get off the couch.
Yeah, all the USDA stuff is all preloaded on the app. So all you do is put the probe in, and it tells you when the chicken's done. Your phone starts beeping.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, you focus on your beverage. You don't have to focus on the grill.
What do you cook chicken to? What temperature?
165.
165? Yeah. Okay, how about pork?
All that stuff is all preloaded into the app, so you don't even need to know that stuff. When you use the iGrill, it tells you exactly when it's done.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I can get that online. Piece of cake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the recipes are on Weber, but like I said, the iGrill itself has all that stuff on it already.
What about pork? Is it okay to have it a little red in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of up to your preference, but I do know that you can do pork medium now. It really is up however people want it. You can have a little pink in there.
Do you go pink pork?
Yeah, the tenderloin, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Not a butterfly pork chop?
No, when I'm cooking, usually when I'm cooking pork, I'm cooking for the wife, and I try to make it a little more well done for her.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Can you see how serious I am talking about meat right now?
Oh, I know. You're
look at my face.
Yeah.
I am serious talking about meat.
Yeah.
Steaks on the grill.
Well, I mean, it really depends on what cut you're doing. I'm a ribeye guy, cowboy steak all the way, bone in.
Big flavor?
Really depends on what you're doing. I always look for the marbled steak. And with the Weber,
fat gives it more flavor.
Right, exactly. So you're going to be cooking that direct on the grill. You get one of those really big, thick steaks, and you want to do that indirect where you're going to have the steak off of the direct heat.
Right.
Kind of bring it up to temperature, and then right at the end, it's called a reverse sear.
Okay.
And then right at the end, you throw it right on the direct heat, get those nice grill marks, and you get that nice, perfect steak on the inside.
312-981-7200. Doug Badger here is the Weber Grill Champion. You get on the air with a question. You qualify to win the Weber Spirit 2 that we're going to give away before 3 o'clock, and the USDA steaks from International Meat Company. We're talking about steaks. People put their steak on the grill, and I feel like they keep flipping it. You just have to leave it on one side and then flip it. What are we talking, 7 minutes each side?
Yeah, like again, it kind of depends on the thickness, but yeah, I'd say probably about 4 or 5 minutes a side. The average steak's going to be about an inch thick, but in my house, I always have those perfect grill marks, so yeah, I do one side, and then about halfway through, I give it a little quarter turn and get that perfect little X on there. That's just as important to me as getting that perfect medium rare on the inside. So.
I had no idea that there are certain ways that you have to have your grill marks, and there's a certain way to put the steak on a plate. It's the bone facing you, is that right?
That's new to me, Pete. That's
the bone has to face you. I think when you go to a restaurant, I think the bone faces you.
Oh,
pay attention next time.
Yeah, I will.
See, Doug, you're learning. I'm teaching you today.
Yeah, here we go.
312-981-7200. Carol, you're on the air with Doug Badger. He is a Weber Grill Champion. What's your question?
Hi, Doug. Okay, so I have an old Weber grill.
Okay.
And my question is on the lid, on the inside of the lid, so the underside of the grill.
Sure.
The black part seems to be peeling off.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't know if that I should scrape it all off and use like a high heat spray paint that's made for like ovens and redo it, or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I have good news for you. The inside of our grills actually are not painted. So the peeling you see, what that is called carbonized grease. It's essentially a buildup inside of your lid. So what I'd recommend you do is actually take the lid off of the grill. They have little pins in the back. If you take the lid off, you can kind of scrape all those loose flakes out of the inside. Just use some warm soapy water and a cloth, and you can clean all that out of there. You'd be surprised. It'll actually look brand new if you get it nice and clean.
God, you're good.
Oh, I know.
Damn.
Okay, I will do that. I don't want to throw these grills out. I got two of the same kind, and I cook on them all the time.
So. Oh, yeah. Don't throw them out. That's just a buildup. It's totally normal. Just get it cleaned, and you'll be good as new.
Carol, hold on. You qualify to win that Weber grill. Let's go to Tim. Tim.
Hey, my question is, which hardwood has the most delicate smoke flavor, or, you know, just a delicate touch or kiss of smoke? Would it be hickory, oak, pecan, et cetera?
I would say hickory is probably your most delicate smoke. I know with pecan and oak and mesquite, a lot of people will say that's a bit too strong for them. So for the people that really don't like those really, really strong smoke flavors, I tend to do hickory and then the fruit woods with the cherry and the apple, a little bit of combo there.
Excellent. I'll go out today and get some.
There you go.
Hold on, buddy. Okay. 312-981-7200. What about a smoker? Are you a fan? You smoke, don't you?
Big fan. Oh, yes.
What do you smoke? Do you smoke your turkey on Thanksgiving?
I've done that, yeah. Anything that'll fit on the grill, I'll smoke.
Okay.
But I have a few smokers at home, all different sizes, so depending on the party I'm throwing or the grill I'm... Or the,
if you're making brisket, mm-hmm. which you can't overcook or it's going to taste like a shoe,
well, right.
What do you cook that puppy in?
I'd probably put that in our Summit charcoal grill.
Okay.
It's Weber's new Kamado style. It's a double wall air insulated charcoal grill. It works awesome. Basically, I just put a little bit of charcoal in the bottom. It holds the temperature all night for me, and it comes out perfect every time. I love it.
My neighbor's got one of those pellet things. Do you like the pellet ones?
Weber doesn't really dabble on that. I haven't really cooked on those before. I know okay. they kind of have their niche, but you know, I don't really know a lot about the pellet ones, to be honest.
How about brats? If I'm boiling brats in beer, mm-hmm. do you do that? First of all, I hear boiling, you don't boil meat because it takes the flavor away, but brats,
yeah.
boil in beer?
Yeah, I usually put the brats in beer. I've tried a couple other things. I've done apple juice and ginger ale mixture before. It adds a nice sweetness to it. I use beer all the time as well. I boil them before. Get them nice and tender. I boil them for about 20 minutes and throw them on the grill. Just a few minutes aside, and they're perfect.
That's it.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Really easy.
You don't want to overcook them.
No.
All right. Weber Grill champion Doug Badger in studio with us. Ed, what is your question?
Yes, I have a grill with the iron grates, cooking grates, and I'm having a problem cleaning it, and there's rust buildup.
Rust on the grates. You just have to get new grates, right?
Yeah, so I'm assuming that this is a Weber grill. I know with most of our cast iron grates, they are porcelain enameled. And our cooking grates now, our porcelain enamel cast iron cooking grates, are warrantied for 10 years. So I don't know how long you've had the grill. That's a new thing that Weber's been putting out, that extended 10-year warranty. But I would definitely check with Weber's customer service, find out when you bought the grill, and see if the warranty still stands on it. I do know that it's not really a big problem to have some surface rusting on your grates. It's not really going to affect much as far as the process of cooking and how your food's going to come off. But if it's just kind of bothering you, you don't like the way it looks, I would just kind of recommend replacing the grates. There's not much you're going to do to be able to reverse the rusting on that.
You're unbelievable. I mean, this is right off the top of your head. You have no notes, nothing. Well, I mean,
I can do this all day.
Doug Badger in the studio. Well, this is your job. I hope you can do it all day.
Well, yeah.
A Weber Grill champion, Doug Badger. How about corn? How do you cook your corn on the grill?
Ooh, that's a big one.
Because let me tell you how we do it. My wife makes some type of juice. I don't even know what's in it. And then we wrap it in foil and you cook it for, what, 30 minutes? You put it on indirect heat.
Yeah, I've done that before. I usually just do butter and seasoning inside. You can't go wrong with butter.
Right.
But the quick way, I usually just leave it right in the husk, cut the silk off the end, that extra silk that's hanging off.
Right.
Just cut that off. I put it right on the grill. The outside husk will get black, but the inside of the corn is perfect.
That's it?
Oh, yeah.
You don't wrap it in foil?
No.
Do you douse it in butter or anything?
Well, when it's done, you give it a nice little run in the butter, a little salt.
But you're cooking it. You're not putting anything on it?
No. Well, the silk and the husk keep it really moist on the inside. You don't need to at all.
Damn.
Yeah. Try it out. It's really good. It's super easy.
When you eat your corn, do you have those little pokers at the end, or you eat it with your
Sometimes
hands?
The corn doesn't even get a chance to get the pokers. I just eat it. Yeah.
What about other veggies? Do you put it in the foil?
You can do that. We have a bunch of different size veggie trays.
Just to let everybody know, you can't see this, but Doug's looking at me like, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard.
No,
what do you mean, put it in foil? Just put it in the pan.
Veggies.
What are you doing?
Well, we have different veggie pans, so depending on how much you're doing, we have a huge one that takes up half the grill, or we have smaller ones if you're only doing a few peppers and onions or whatnot.
Okay.
But the foil is a good way to do it as well if you don't have a pan on hand. You just wrap it in foil, again, with a little olive oil or butter, a little seasoning. It's perfect.
Got it. All right. Tim, you're on with Doug Badger, the Weber Grill champion. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Hey, I want to know, basically, first of all, I'm going to do like a three-parter here. How much charcoal do you know? How much do you know when to use? And when you use it, when you get it started, how do you know when to actually start cooking on it? And then the last part is, what's the best charcoal I can buy that'll last the longest for me?
Well, whenever I'm cooking with charcoal, I pretty much exclusively use a chimney starter. I don't know if you're using a chimney starter, Tim. If you're not, I definitely recommend going out and getting one. You use a chimney starter in conjunction with the Weber lighter cubes. You just put one cube underneath. It takes about 20, 25 minutes, and the charcoal's ready to go. Whenever you do the pile with the lighter fluid, I just don't like that. It messes with the flavor. If you don't let it burn long enough, you have that lighter fluid taste. So I definitely recommend just fill the chimney starter. Depending on how much you're cooking, if you have a larger grill, just fill it up all the way. And then what's nice about the chimney starter, when you go to pour it in the grill, you can pour it nice and even and flat to make sure you have a nice even heating surface. A lot of people make the mistake of kind of making an uneven surface, and then they have hot spots on their grill. So when you're cooking with charcoal, you want to make sure you have a nice even surface. And to answer your second question, as far as the briquettes go, Weber does make, they just came out with natural hardwood briquettes. It's a 20-pound bag. They cook really, really well. They burn for about twice as long as the normal briquette. So it's definitely what I recommend. I use it on all my charcoal grills, and pretty much since I started using those, I've cut back my charcoal consumption by a lot.
The lighter fluid taste, you don't like that? I do Bear's tailgates, and my brother Ed is usually in charge of the grill. And I feel like if it's not hot enough, he's throwing lighter fluid on there.
Yeah, I don't prefer the lighter fluid taste, but, you know, I'm not that picky.
I mean, when you're half in the bag tailgating for the Bears, it really doesn't matter.
A little mustard, a little lighter fluid.
Doug Badger in studio with us, the Weber Grill champion. Coming up next, you're having a big sale on grills this weekend where Weber is picking up the taxes that we're going to talk about in a second.
Correct,
okay?
Yeah.
And also we're going to talk about cleaning the grill because that's where most of us are. I haven't cleaned my grill yet, and I need some tips from you.
All right, let's do it.
All right, 312-981-7200. If you get on the air, remember, you qualify to win the Weber Spirit 2 plus USDA Prime Steaks from International Meat Company as I lose my voice. It's 720 WGN. In studio with us, the Weber Grill champion, Doug Badger. How about that? How do you think the president likes his steak?
You know, I don't know. I haven't really given much thought to that.
What do you think? I mean, a New York guy?
He's a well-done guy. But
really?
No, I don't know.
How do you do your steak?
Well, again, it depends on the cut, but if I'm doing that classic ribeye cowboy,
yeah,
I'll throw it on my grill nice and
hot. I don't
even
know what that means, the classic ribeye.
The cowboy steak, they call
the cowboy
it. The
steak.
And ribeye, yeah.
Okay, the bone-in.
Yeah, the bone-in ribeye.
I never knew they called it the cowboy.
Well, yeah.
I know the Kansas City, isn't that a 56-ouncer or something, the big Kansas City?
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so
medium rare.
Yeah, well, medium rare.
Yeah, you go medium rare.
Yeah, so I put the steak right on the high heat. I have it on direct cooking, probably about 450, 500 degrees. You know, 4 or 5 minutes aside.
Okay.
Again, I told you I do the quarter turn in between to get those perfect little crosshatch marks.
God, that's great.
That's the advanced stuff, but
this is a great visual today. Before the break, we talked about you guys are having a sale this weekend where Weber's picking up the taxes at Ace Hardware.
Yeah, well, it's actually it's a tax savings event at the local Ace Hardware. The Aces are picking up it. So it's a tax savings at the local participating Chicagoland Ace stores. So it's a really good opportunity to get your Weber grill. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so the 27th, 28th.
So if people need a new grill, they could win it on the show today or go to Ace, and Ace will pick up the taxes.
Exactly. Yeah,
okay, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
How do we clean our grills? I haven't touched my grill since last fall.
Okay, so this is you're firing up the grill for the first time. What I recommend people do, obviously you want to do this in the fall. If you're not going to cook throughout the winter, you want to make sure the grill's nice and clean before you put it away for the winter. So you want to make sure the inside of the cook box is clean, get that all scraped out.
Right.
Make sure the burners are clear. You can take a clean stainless steel bristle brush and just brush right across the portholes of the burners to make sure
you get a new one every year in case the bristles come off.
Yeah, I get a new one every year because, I mean, I put
$7, come on.
I put it through the ringer. It's always dirty by the end of the year. So, yeah, I usually replace them. It's smart to have a clean one because if you're using a dirty brush all the time, all you're doing is moving the dirty stuff all around.
Do you have the backup propane in your garage just in case
you
got people over?
Always
got
to
have
the
backup. Yeah.
Well, our propane grills have a scale on them, so you know how much gas is left usually, so you try to plan around that.
I love that. Why did it take so long for that? Who invented that at Weber? I'm going to give them a hug.
Well, they've had the tank scales on the Genesis since '85. They had those. They're just basically based on the weight. So you put it on the scale, and the tank tells you how much is left.
I love the Genesis grill. I love it.
That's what you have at home, right?
Yeah. I call it the Cadillac.
There
it's just wonderful. My own time, have a beer, get a cook. It's nice and peaceful. Doug Badger, Weber Grill champion, thanks for coming in, man. I mean, you're a smart dude when it comes to grilling.
Thanks, Pete. You're a smart dude when it comes to radio.
Well, thank you for that. All right. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for John Williams this week. Beautiful Tuesday. Lots of people walking down Michigan Avenue as we sit here in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Wow, the Dow down 500 points, almost 500 points. We're going to be watching that this afternoon. Movies. Do we have any movie people here? I love going to the movies, but it's hard when you have a kid that plays 17 different sports.
Steve, don't sign him up for those sports.
Are you, what are you going to say to your kid?
You can play 15.
You're that dad, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, the one who limits his kid to 15 sports.
Have you guys heard about the movie pass?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. In fact, John's talked to them a couple times.
Right. I remember hearing it on his show. The Movie Pass, people that have the Movie Pass absolutely love the Movie Pass. It's $6.95 a month, and you can go to a movie every day.
Yeah. Well, I tried to go to a movie this weekend, and I wouldn't have gone for free to any of them.
Because you didn't like the movies?
Yeah, nothing looked very good.
The John Kaczynski, what is that, The Quiet Room?
The Quiet Place?
Quiet Place?
That one looks good.
Dean Richards loved that movie. Good. Great reviews. I talked to people that have seen it. They love it.
I didn't want to see it.
You don't like
it? Well, but maybe next weekend you will want to see something.
Plus, yes,
even one movie a month pays it off. I mean, a movie's more than $6.95 anyway. Isn't it like $12 to watch a movie?
It is typically 15, right? $15 to get in?
I sneak in with the kid discount.
I think the kid discount only goes to 11 years old, right? I think it's $15. I don't even pay attention. That's a good question. Well, the Movie Pass, 83% of Movie Pass people that have the Movie Pass, which is $6.95 a month, you can go to a movie every single day, love it. And most of them go alone and during the week.
Well,
when was the last time you went to a movie by yourself?
That's on my bucket list. I've never done it.
I don't think I can. I think I've done it once in my life because we had someone on the show from a movie, but I
used to do it a lot.
Go to the movie by yourself?
Yeah, I used to, when I would review movies back in the day, just go sit in the theater.
You were a movie reviewer?
Yeah.
Right, but you were doing it for a purpose. You know, I mean, it seems like it was your job.
Did you like some of the movies? I feel like you'd go south on some of them.
Well, I would go south on some of them, but no, I liked a lot of movies. What do you mean?
Okay. I mean, you just, I mean, I like you. You're a good man, but I feel like you would go south on these movies.
I don't know why. Actually, I was a softie when it came to a lot of them.
The Movie Pass. It would be worth it just to pay the $6.95 a month if you went to one movie a month. It would be worth it. Right? I would think so. There is a movie theater in New Zealand, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves. There's a movie theater in New Zealand that announced yesterday on Facebook that customers will no longer be allowed inside the theater if they show up wearing pajamas.
What?
Or onesies. Or bathrobes.
Okay, bathrobes.
Or dirty boots.
I'm wondering where this all derives. What provoked that?
A lot of people wearing those things.
People wear
onesies,
pajamas outside. People, when I go to the airport, and if you have a flight, you look around the airport, there's always a handful of people that show up in their pajamas. And they have the pillow wrapped around their neck like they just rolled out of bed. Really?
Well, that's kind of weird because don't you want to show up looking good?
You would think.
Where you land.
But people think they're going to get on the plane, they're going to go right back to sleep. So do you roll out of bed thinking, you know, I'm going to leave my pajama bottoms on, I'm going to put this pillow around my neck, I'm just going to hop in a cab, go to the airport?
I think, though, but maybe they just look like they're wearing pajamas, but they didn't sleep in those clothes or use those clothes to sleep in.
Starbucks on a Saturday morning, you've never seen anyone with pajama bottoms.
Well, sometimes it's the only thing you have to wear when you need a coffee.
Easily once a week I see somebody with pajama bottoms.
Especially on a Saturday morning.
I don't get that. Put on sweatpants. You got to take off the pajama bottoms. Or walking your dog on a Saturday or Sunday morning. Or a weekday morning. I don't understand how you walk outside in your pajama bottoms. I just don't get it. That's me. Especially at the airport. Drives me crazy. I want to say, who was it? Sebastian Maniscalco, the very funny comedian, does a whole bit on that. Are you serious? Are you serious? You're wearing pajama bottoms at the airport? Are you that tired? You have to roll out of bed? Violetta, I could see you wearing the pajama bottoms.
No, I don't wear public. No, I don't wear pajama bottoms, but I've been known to wear a pajama as shirt, one of those like button-ups as a sweater, just because I only had a tank top and then I was cold and I had to, didn't have a jacket and I had to wear that. Plus then it's comfortable and I wear it to yoga sometimes. But no, not the bottoms. I don't really have pajama bottoms. Like, I mean, yeah, I just have like shorts.
Guaranteed this weekend, now that it's warm, you're going to see tons of people, Starbucks, walking their dogs in pajama bottoms. Drives me nuts. Brian, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, guys, glad you're talking about this. As I was telling your producer, I've been a member for a couple of months now. I'm retired. I go to about 3 or 4 movies a week, and I think they just got sick of me using my movie pass because it's been somewhat disabled. I've been on their chat rooms, and I've been on emails trying to resolve this problem, but I show up at the movie theater to check into the movie, and I keep getting errors that, you know, you need to take a picture of your ticket. You may have to submit it someday.
Really?
Yeah, I think they've come to their wit's end with me anyhow.
Well, it says $6.95 a month, unlimited movies, right?
Right. I pay $9.95 a month, but that's still okay.
Okay, $9.95 a month. You're still saving money because what's a movie cost? $12, $15 bucks?
$12.
Right. Okay.
Right. I think they've got a filter. You know, I've probably seen 30 movies since I joined a few months ago, and 2-3 months ago, and I'm getting nowhere with the help desk or the chat line. So if anybody's got any food for thought, greatly appreciated.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
I have no idea. I've never known anybody to get the movie pass, and there he is. He loved it until they cut him off, which they can't do. Are they still charging? I should have asked him. He just hung up. Are they still charging your credit card? Maybe something happened with that. No pajamas at a movie theater in New Zealand. I think they should have that rule here in Chicago. What about people that bring their own food? Anybody sneaking food in to the movie theater? I am.
Wait, what are you sneaking in?
Usually a sandwich. I'll pick up a sandwich somewhere. Yeah.
Really? You bring a sandwich?
I'll bring a sandwich. The last movie I went, I want to say, with my wife in December, she brought an apple. And she started eating the apple in the movie theater. I'm like, Sarah, you got to get rid of
it. Maybe if you
that.
Sliced it before you went there.
But. No, she didn't slice it. She just brought the old apple in her purse. You guys don't bring in food?
Might bring a little drink, but that's it.
I mean, you can either get the kid size pop or you have to go the bucket size. There's no in between. They're small as a mega large, right?
But sometimes you also want to mix in with the pop, you know?
Mix in. Oh, the booze. I've never done that. That's a great idea.
Have you ever tried a blueberry slushy with some vodka?
No, but
really
now that,
good.
There's a movie theater on Webster that serves booze now. They have a full bar, which is nice. And you can take it in the movie theater. And they have the lounge chairs.
Yeah, it's one of those.
God, that's nice. I love it.
Do you use those blankets, though? Do you feel comfortable using those blankets?
I didn't know. First of all, I'm not going to bring a blanket to the movie theater or
no, but
borrow
they
the
give
blanket.
Them, they give them to
no,
you. Yeah.
They're not washing those blankets.
There's no way.
Uh-uh. Are you using those blankets? I didn't even know they had blankets.
No, I just leave it in my lap. I don't unfold it, but it's still a little warm.
I love the lounge. Yeah, the Lazy Boy chairs. Those are fantastic. Just wonderful. The Dow is down. We will talk to Paul LaMonica from CNN coming up next. It's Pete McMurray in for John Williams, 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for John Williams. It's 720 WGN. The Dow is down today. Down big, almost 500 points. Let's check in with the CNN digital money correspondent. It's Paul LaMonica. Paul, what is going on here?
Yeah, we have really, really series of bad news driving the Dow lower today. You had some rotten results from some companies in the Dow. 3M had some really gloomy guidance. Travelers, the big insurance company as well. And then even the companies that had quote-unquote good news, when you dug a little bit deeper, it didn't look as good as appeared. Caterpillar, they're saying their profit margins may not get any better than where they are right now. Coke, people were excited about the fact that Diet Coke sales were finally up, but then they looked a little bit deeper and it seems like, ooh, maybe they actually had to cut the prices of the product to juice sales. Maybe that's not great news after all. So you add it all together, and then, a key bond yield that's up, past the 3% level for the first time in 4 years, and that's one that affects what consumers pay for mortgages and other important loans. That's got people nervous as well.
Wow. I mean, I thought you were going to cheer us up. You got nothing for us. Is this the new norm?
No. I think volatility is the new norm. I think that maybe this is an overreaction to today's particularly seemingly bad dose of news, to be perfectly honest. I think it's probably an overreaction, but I do think volatility, which was absent for all of last year,
right,
has returned with a vengeance and isn't going away anytime soon.
So this is the new norm, the high highs and low lows with the stock market.
It seems like it's going to be that way for a while, and honestly, that's how the market often tends to be. I think people got a little too complacent last year. They thought that it was just going to be this slow, steady grind higher for the foreseeable future. And a lot of people I talked to last year, they laughed off all the political headlines as Trump just being Trump and kind of just amusing, but it didn't really have that big of an impact. But once you started to worry about a potential trade war from China, all
right,
the laughs about Donald Trump started to fade, and I think people started to realize, oh, there might actually be some damage that could be done to the U.S. economy from some of these tweets. So,
well, the swings 500 and 600 points, that's big.
That's big. They're not as big as they were, though, when you think about it, just 10 years ago when the market was in the midst of a free fall, Lehman Brothers going under, we were in the Great Recession. At that point in time, the market was having these types of point swings at lower levels. The percentage moves were a lot bigger than they are now. I don't want to make it sound like don't worry about a 600-point drop in the Dow. It's nothing, but to be perfectly honest, it's not nearly as significant as it would have been 10 years ago when the Dow was at a much lower level. 600 points now, it's about a 2% drop as opposed to a 4% or 5% drop a couple of years ago.
We're talking with Paul LaMonica, the CNN Money digital correspondent. Now, you mentioned Caterpillar. They're down. They said that their profit margins probably will not get any higher this year. Is that what you mentioned earlier?
That seems to be the reason why that stock is significantly lower as the day wore on, because Caterpillar opened the day higher. People were excited about the good news. They talked about infrastructure spending in China as well as the U.S. as things that helped boost their profits and sales in the quarter, and also led them to raise their outlook as well. But I think people are maybe a little nervous that this is as good as it gets for them.
Right. How about Boeing, Chicago-based Boeing?
Yep, yeah. Boeing didn't have any particular company news of its own today, but like all of the other big industrials, I think when you see a company like Caterpillar warn, people worry about Boeing also. And obviously, Boeing, Caterpillar, Apple, another big company in the Dow, these are three examples of companies that already do big business in China and want to continue doing business in China. And I think there's some nervousness now about the trade. I'm not going to call it a war yet, but at least the escalated, tougher talk between the U.S. and China.
Right.
And that might mean for big American companies that want to do more business in China and already have a significant presence there.
Facebook, how much has it fallen in the last month?
Yeah, Facebook has actually had a bit of a comeback lately. It's up, amazingly enough, over the past month. It's still down year to date, but I think there is a growing sense, and we'll see when they report their earnings in a few days whether or not this actually happened, that for all of the problems with the Cambridge Analytica scandal, most people think that Mark Zuckerberg did a pretty good job on Capitol Hill, and they are believing him for now when he says that users and advertisers did not flee Facebook and other platforms that it owns, like Instagram and WhatsApp, because of the problems with Cambridge Analytica. So if that's true,
right,
and users didn't really flee, then advertisers aren't going to go anywhere either, and that's going to be good news for them.
I thought I heard during the business lunch here at WGN that Google had a good day. Was it yesterday or today?
Well, here's the thing. Google, originally, when they reported their results, they were much better than expected, and people were pretty excited about that. That was after the close yesterday. But as their conference call went on, I think people got a little bit more nervous and skeptical about Google, because they are continuing to spend a lot of money on newer initiatives beyond the core Google platform. And every time Google does that, that tends to freak people out. People worry that maybe they're spending too much, and is that going to hurt profit margins going forward? I personally think that you should give Google management the benefit of the doubt. They've been doing this for, the decades now since the company's inception, and they've had a pretty good track record of discovering new ways to grow, and I wouldn't be too nervous that they're spending.
Right.
They've done a good job of it so far.
Paul LaMonica, CNN digital money correspondent, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Two 735, Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Beautiful day, Tuesday afternoon. Our next guest, she's the Attorney General for the state of Illinois, where she filed a lawsuit against Suburban Express Bus Company, saying they discriminated against students and other customers. We'd like to welcome to the show our AG. It's Lisa Madigan. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day. We appreciate it.
Pete, I'm happy to. Thanks for having me.
When did these complaints start with this company?
Well, we've gotten a number of them over the years. We got a big group of them toward the end of 2017, and I think that occurred because of the fact that there had been some advertising that the owner of Suburban Express, Dennis Teppin, had done, where he put up an ad that basically said, you know, you'll be riding the bus with passengers like you. You won't feel like you're in China when you're on our buses.
Right.
And so that really set off a little bit of a firestorm, and we received, I would say, at least a dozen complaints about that. But we had received complaints over the years about a variety of problems with this company and the owner of it. So anyway, we actually, you know, sent out requests for information, so we opened an investigation, and we were just kind of overwhelmed with the amount of material that really indicated that Suburban Express and its owner engaged in discriminatory conduct, harassing right. conduct, retaliation against customers that he didn't like for a variety of reasons, and ultimately we also learned that he was publishing people's personal financial information when he filed these kind of petty lawsuits against customers he didn't like. So all of it really demanded a response and a legal response, so to hold him accountable for these you know, flagrant and multiple violations of our consumer fraud and anti-discrimination laws.
It's pretty crazy. I read the article in today's Tribune. It sounded like he was just strong-arming people. Well, I mean, besides the discrimination, which we've seen over and over, we've read about it in the newspapers and in the news. I'm so glad that we're doing something about this. But now we find out he is strong-arming people.
Right. And so, you know, in addition to that ad I mentioned, he also goes after the customers of his who are students. Again, you know, remember, keep that in context.
Right.
Who negatively review him or his company online, you know, and saying things like, you know, he suggests that they bone up on their English so that they don't have more problems like this in his country, calling people pushy little Chinese international students, saying to, you know, people, please go back to your country and stay there.
I mean, come on.
Right. I mean, it's pretty over the top, but it's not just directed, you know, at Chinese students. There are other issues that he deals with. So, you know, calling people, and these are all quotes, I'm not making any of this up, little weasel, dishonest little scumbag. He actually bans his customers or some people from being customers on his bus, and some of the reasons he has included are can't figure out how to ride the bus, too whiny, too needy, too stupid to ride our bus.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's just a whole series of, you know, discriminatory as well as harassing and retaliatory conduct that is beyond the boundaries of the law.
Our Attorney General Lisa Madigan on the phone with us. I'm glad you're taking care of this or you're doing something about this. What is the biggest problem today in Illinois? Is it credit card fraud?
My. Okay, consumer problem. Okay, thank you for putting that in some context.
Yes, yes.
You know, the biggest problems that we're seeing, they continue to be the financial problems, but I will say this, and it's kind of apropos of what we're talking about since we're talking about college students, it's student loan debt. And it's just tremendous. When you look at the overall numbers, there, you know, are, I think it's well over $1.4 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. And we have seen so many people who are struggling to repay their loans, mm-hmm. you know, doing the best that they can, but they're often being targeted by, you know, a lot of these scam artists who claim that they can help you, you know, reduce your loans, get you into a better payment program, when in fact they're really just taking people's money, and you could sign up for some of these income-driven repayment programs on your own. But we're also seeing real problems with the servicers. So the people that the government contracts with to collect your monthly payments, and they have not been telling people what these programs are that are available that would reduce their payments and make them more manageable. So we actually have a student loan helpline. If people have questions, concerns,
right.
problems, give us a call. We're happy to help you sort through that and get you legitimate information for free as opposed to being ripped off by these con artists.
What about these places that give you an advance on your check?
So be very careful with that. You know, the we've put in place some, you know, we're trying to contain them so that it doesn't end up to be this cycle of debt, which is what happens.
Right.
You know, somebody gets into one of these, and because the interest rate is so high, they end up, you know, oftentimes not being able to, you know, fully repay, and so their loans would roll over. So now we have some restrictions, but I'm going to tell you what has occurred. Because it's not just bricks and mortar taking place, right, in the state, folks are usually getting on the internet. And there are a couple of problems. One, you put your information onto the internet. You have no idea who's getting it. You don't know what they're going to do with it. So now we have a problem where a lot of people are getting calls about what we call phantom debt. They haven't even taken out a loan, but someone's calling you and telling you you owe them money, and they are harassing you at home. They're harassing you at work. And people end up paying folks off just to leave them alone. But needless to say, that doesn't work, because once you give somebody money, they know that you will give them more. So phantom debt problems. We also see problems where, because you're looking for something on the internet, the folks that are operating there are not necessarily going to be complying with the restrictions that we've put in place here in Illinois to prevent those rollover problems and the cycle of debt problems. So we have sued, well, at least half a dozen companies, I would say, in the last several years because of that. So you've got to be really, really careful with those short-term loans that have very high interest rates. People just get trapped in them, and yeah, it's not easy to dig out.
All you do is put out fires. I mean,
it
people want to come to
way.
You and just complain. That's it.
I always say that nothing comes into my office unless it's a problem, right?
Right. I mean, I love your website, Attorney General, IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov. It's got everything on there, including you have a tab for building better charities.
So we do. You know, one of the things that we do that most people probably don't realize unless they work for a nonprofit organization is that all the charitable organizations that raise money and operate in the state of Illinois have to register with the Attorney General's office. So, you know, we try to keep tabs on them as well, but there are over 35,000 of them that are registered with us. So there are a lot of folks out there. And I'm going to say this in terms of scams, because it's a similar problem.
Yep.
You know, particularly in the aftermath of a natural disaster or, you know, some tragedy occurring, there are a lot of people that get out there on the internet these days, and sometimes even on your phone, and they are soliciting money to try to help people recover or help rebuild.
Right.
When in fact, they're just pocketing that money. And so one of the quick and easy things you can do is you can find out whether or not the organization that's calling you or contacting you somehow is a legitimate charity. Are they currently registered? You know, are they, you know, where they need to be in terms of all their filings? And when you find out the answer is no, then don't give people money, because something that I will say a thousand times is so much easier for me to prevent you from losing your money in the first place than for me to get it back after you've given it away. Because most of the time it's very, very difficult if you're dealing with a true, you know, scam of some sort, particularly if it's not operated here in the United States,
right,
to get your money back.
One last thing, never, ever give out your Social Security number. I received a letter in the mail 2 weeks ago about an uncashed check, and they wanted my address and my Social Security number and mail it back to a P.O. box, and I just ripped it up.
Well, you're very wise.
Yes.
Not everybody is as wise as you, because oftentimes when you get those, you know, mailings, there's something compelling, right? They somehow want to give you money, but
of course,
all you need to do is send us
this
information. And again, this is one of those circumstances where don't let your, you know, spidey sense not be turned on. People aren't just going to contact you to give you money. Sometimes, you know, when you open up the mail, you know, they would do those checks and they look like legitimate checks.
Yep.
So you've got to be really, really careful and never give away your Social Security number, your credit card number, your bank mm-hmm. account routing number. All it is an identity theft scam. And that actually has really popped back into one of the main complaints that we're seeing in the Attorney General's office. So another thing that we provide is I have an identity theft unit. We help people, if you've been a victim of identity theft, clean that up. And you really do need somebody to help you, because it can be a very long, involved process. So, you know, try to keep track of your credit. Get your free credit reports
yep.
at annualcreditreport.com. Space those out. You get one free one a year from each of the three major credit reporting bureaus. You can, you know, get one every 4 months and check on that. It really helps. I know a lot of people don't do it. In addition, do something that I've done, which is to put a freeze on your credit. We just passed a bill here in Illinois in the aftermath of the Equifax breach.
Yep.
to make sure that you don't have to pay. Now, I'm not sure if the governor signed that. You should call the governor and tell him to sign that bill. but once that happens...
That's my next call after you.
Exactly. Once that happens, you shouldn't have to pay to protect your credit, especially when it's the credit reporting bureaus who are losing your information.
Right. It's just ridiculous. Remember, if it looks too good to be true, it is. Yes, it is. Our Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, thanks for taking time out. Can you hold on 1 second?
Sure, Pete.
All right.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. WGN. Thanks again to Attorney General Lisa Madigan. How would you like to be in an office where all people do is complain to you? You know, sometimes you see her on TV and she's got that grumpy look, but in real life, she's a very charming person. But think about it. All you get is complaints from people over and over. This is what's wrong. I'm losing money. I gave out my Social Security number. Again, you never, ever give out your Social Security number. Your bank will never ask for it. Never give out your bank number. They will never ask for it. They always ask for, what's your last four digits? Social Security number is a red flag. So thanks again to Lisa Madigan. All right. We have a grill to give away, a Weber II Spirit Grill, and we qualified people the last 2 days. We also have USDA steaks from International Meat Company. You can go to their website, internationalmeatcompany.com. We have our winner on the line. We took all the qualifiers, threw him in a hat, and Elif, you just picked this guy's name, and it's Ed. Ed, what's your last name?
Walzak.
Congratulations. You pick up the Weber Spirit II Grill and USDA steaks from International Meat Company.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
I feel like we need to come to your house and have a little bit of a party.
That'll work.
That's nice. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Downers Grove.
The big DG. Well, congratulations, buddy. You get the Weber II Spirit Grill and USDA steaks for International Meat Company. And thank you for listening to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you.
All right, my friend. Hold on the line there. That's very nice. I feel like we need to go out to the big Downers Grove. Violetta, you call it the big DG? Downers Grove? Some guy is holding. I can't see the sign, sir. What are you holding? Come over to the microphone. Come over to the mic. Right over here. I can't see what you're holding up.
What's it say?
It says, go Indians. Well, you're going to get arrested. We'll give you 2 minutes to move out of the window right here. Go Indians. He's been holding up a sign for the last 10 minutes. And he wrote, I'm going to miss this studio right here. I really am.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Yes. The crazies just standing there. I had Kevin Nealon in on Saturday. He was at City Winery over the weekend. We had two women standing outside the window, I'm not kidding, for 10 minutes, jumping up and down and waving. And during a commercial, I finally said, hey, what's up? And they said, we just wanted to say hi. I'm like, okay.
Do you think they might have had a couple alcoholic beverages?
It was 10:30 in the morning.
Oh.
On Saturday morning.
Maybe it was still left over from the night before.
What was going on this weekend? I mean, street fairs haven't started. Maybe they were doing some cocktails for breakfast.
The Chocolate Fest was, or the Chocolate Expo, Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo was going on Saturday morning.
Where was that?
On the west side at Stephen Bailey Auditorium.
And what do they have there? It's just people show up?
You show
up. Eat chocolate?
You buy tickets to try different wines and different spirits, and there's tons of chocolate.
Wouldn't you get sick of the chocolate after a while, though?
I don't.
Wow.
But yeah, a normal person.
I'm not a chocolate guy. Bacon Fest. I could go to Bacon Fest. You know they had Bacon Fest a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my cup of tea. Do you ever walk out of WGN Studios and smell the Boomer Chocolate Factory? You
smell that? A little bit, sometimes.
All the time. I mean, I got a big nose. It's good for sniffing. You know what I'm saying? All right. So congratulations, Ed, and thanks again to Weber Grill. The Weber II Spirits we gave away today, and the meats from International Meat Company. Thank you very much. All right. Quick break, and we'll say hello to Rowan. Anna coming up next on 720 WGN. Anna DeVlantis in studio. Just called
Hi
me
there,
John
Pete.
Williams.
I didn't even look up. I just said, hey, John, which
Hi,
is
John.
What I normally do. And then I'm like, it's Pete.
It's that hairy guy with the big nose.
The hairy fun guy.
How are you? How's
I'm
your
good.
Family?
Everyone's good. Speaking of doors and windows, we had the doors and windows open today. I don't know if you experienced that, but this weather is just so gorgeous. The birds are chirping. It's just It feels like we turned a corner here.
Do you pull out all your screens and clean them? Soap
no,
and water?
I hate it. It is the worst job ever, isn't it? And then the inside of the window is in between the screens and the...
They need to be done.
Do you
got to vacuum in the windows. You got to take out the screens. You got
to
clean them.
You do that, Pete. You're a good guy like that. You're okay with it.
I have to, yes.
And you enjoy it when you do it.
Definitely. Real quick, I wanted to say hi to Kevin because we have the NFL draft on Thursday.
Ah, yes.
Who are we taking? Kev, let me turn on your microphone. There you go.
Thank you, Pete. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ryan Pace makes another draft day trade. I was up at Hal's Hall today. He was playing it coy, like all the general managers are this time of year. They don't want to show their hand. Everybody's very secretive about who they're scouting. He said they have identified or targeted 8 players. But Quentin Nelson, I think, would be great. He's the offensive guard from Notre Dame.
Right.
He's potentially could fall to them, or maybe even Ryan Pace trades up for him. I think Nelson or Bradley Chubb, although I think he'll be gone. Those are a couple guys. Roquan Smith is a linebacker, people have said. But the more quarterbacks that go ahead of the Bears, the better.
Who was the number one pick? The Browns?
The Browns, yes.
Who are they going to take?
Quarterback, I think Darnold or Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold from USC or Baker Mayfield, the quarterback from Oklahoma.
Who takes Barkley?
Who takes Barkley? That's a good question. Cleveland could take him at with their 4th pick because they have two picks in the top 5. But that's also another guy I wouldn't completely rule out ending up with the Bears. Barkley, Nelson,
we have Howard. We don't need a running back.
Saquon Barkley fits perfectly into Matt Nagy's offense. I'm not saying it's necessarily a need, but that's how highly I think of Barkley. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. Just want to completely rule it out. I think Quentin Nelson, though, is the guy a lot of people want. He's an offensive guard. Some people say he's potentially a future Hall of Famer as an offensive guard.
What's the rule? If you have the best player available, you take him, you don't matter?
I think it doesn't matter. I think the Bears are in that spot. I mean, basically, unless you need a quarterback, that's always almost the case. But they can go a lot of different directions, offense or defense.
So why is it good if all the quarterbacks go first? Because that's absolutely not what they're looking for?
Right.
Exactly. And then some of these other players, whether it be offensive line or running back or edge rusher, whoever it may be, the likelihood of those guys still being available when the Bears pick at 8 is highly likelier. So the more quarterbacks that go, and I think there's probably going to be 4 drafted with the first 7 picks. So I think that actually will help the Bears when that 8th pick rolls around. But when Ryan Pace wants a guy, he's going to go get that guy. We saw it last year with Mitch Trubisky. He moved up just one spot to assure that he was going to get his guy,
Mitch
Trubisky.
God, I hope he has a good year this year.
Yeah.
Well, everyone doubted the Trubisky thing. Remember Bears fans, the reaction shots of them looking just so mad and so angry. This was the worst thing ever.
I've still never understood. I mean, Bears fans have been calling for a franchise quarterback forever.
But, yes. Now, wait a second. We don't know if he's a franchise quarterback.
Right, but
he was okay last season.
But Ryan Pace thinks he is. So if now, Ryan Pace thinks he is, then you might as well go all in on it. Because if a guy in your mind is a potential franchise quarterback, you might as well trade all of
now,
your
hold
picks
on a
to
second.
Move up one
I'm
spot.
The only one in this group that gives the Bears money, right?
Well, you actually go to the
I'm
games.
A season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. Section 251, North End Zone.
That's true.
Yes. I give the Bears money.
Okay.
So I'd like to see
you
a return
a
on
vote.
My investment. Yes.
Do you ever do any reselling of those tickets, Pete, ever in the history of your
ownership?
No
one would buy them the last few years. That's a little bit of a problem.
Did you ever do any fourth quarter leaving in the last season? Were you one of those thousands of people?
Possibly. My brother Ed, if he was driving, never. He would never let us leave early. No. That's a no-no.
If you have a good... I'd trade up if you have better Patriots-Bears game tickets than I've currently got, so we can talk about that later.
Okay.
Are you good seats? Good seats?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 rows up from the time clock in North End Zone. I like them.
That's good.
Run downstairs. There's a bathroom right there. That's all you care about.
That's doubly good right there.
The key is, at any sporting event, is knowing when to go to the bathroom.
It's true, and you just never know.
Right.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see, since they're, you know, Devin Hester gets signed for one day, wouldn't it be cool if he got to play one more game? I would love to see Devin Hester play one more game. What does
Kevin,
it matter?
Kevin, tell her no.
Why? Yeah,
I don't want to see him get hurt.
No.
He's had a good run.
And
he's not hurt, is he?
No, you want to remember Devin Hester at his prime. You don't want to see an old guy return a punt. He's not going to return the kick.
He's 35, so he's so old now, right?
Yes.
He's over the hill.
Okay. Well, have a great show today. I'll see you in 2 days. Tomorrow's the Sox.
Sounds good, Pete.